Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
How did everything go out there? It looked like a nightmare.
I'm back. How did it go? I'm putting a happy face on it, is what I'll say.
Yeah, because I got to say, when you told me that there was a flood out there, I just buried my head in my pillow. I was so stressed out, Ron. I couldn't really handle it. So
this
I'm sorry to help.
This is one of the things that happens when you're a multiple homeowner, first of all. Mm-hmm. Second of all, when you have the privilege of living next to a wetland.
Right.
And third
of all, which was grandfathered
in.
Yeah. It abuts your property.
Sure. Yeah. And third of all, yeah. Mother Nature / climate change. So if people say climate change isn't coming for Ronnie Glickman, they're confused. Okay? And
you are patient zero.
It is. You know what I am? What was that goddamn book we read? Children's Bible. I'm a children's Bible. My house last week was a children's Bible.
Absolutely.
And
were you one of the kids or one of the parents? Probably one of the kids, actually.
Well, no, I mean, I was the homeowner. I wasn't the person renting
That's
the
true.
Property.
You were actually there.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. All I have to say is I got down on my knees and I prayed for about half an hour and I was so thankful it wasn't me who was there because you would have absolutely blamed it on me, Rona.
Well, I don't know that it wasn't you because you were there before.
That is true. I was there
right
before.
I want you to know I have called a forensic.
And stuff was a little bit.
I have called a forensic plumber in. And he's reconstructing. He's reconstructing where the problem came from. And as a result of his initial investigations.
Listen, you don't want to get in deep on this because you find out things you don't want to find out.
Well, I find out things I do want to find out. Oh, you're going to find out that I found out some things that you didn't want me to find out. That's basically what's going to happen.
And it was my first time trying that kind of play, and it got out of hand.
And if you know what? You need to cool it in the I'm available department, okay? We have talked about, you are walking around showing your ankles to everyone in town, twirling your parasol and showing your ankles and your wrists to everyone in town.
Someone called me a slut the other day at, what's the ice cream place? Mad Martha's.
Yeah.
Someone called me a slut under their breath.
Well, what were you doing?
Nothing. I was
just
getting
ice cream. Are
you
one of those guys that wears a bathing suit with nothing under it and then sit so people can see up the side of your shorts?
Yeah, of course. Because I wear very short swim trunks. I don't wear anything underneath. They were dry as a bone.
Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever done it to anybody?
Well, it's never happened to me on accident.
Oh.
So it's always been plotted.
You know, that's one of those things, those people that are like flashes.
Exhibitionists.
You've ever been at a cocktail party where a guy does that with some shorts and waits to see if you notice?
Do you know how many people have like hit me up on Grindr in my life who have said like, hey, I'll be on like a hike and I'll just like get on Grindr for fun and people will be like, hey, are you freeballing? Walk by this area so I can check out you if you're freeballing. They love that.
I want you to change your Grindr profile. And the only thing I want it to say is shorts, no underwear.
Shorts, no underwear. And then in the body of it,
I
want to
see
say,
if you get any hits off shorts, no underwear.
I for sure will. And I'll, but in the body of it, I'll say, for more, go to Negrana.com.
Oh, fine by me.
Yeah. I'll just do an advertisement on there.
So last week you had a guest host. I don't really want to talk about it. That's what I'm going to say about that.
Well, I got to say, Rana, it was not what I expected. I hated it.
Uh-huh. Well, it sure didn't seem that way.
Well, because I got away with a lot more, Rana. I got to say my opinion. Uh-huh. For once, I got to say my yes, truth.
That is the problem on this show. You never get the chance to express
never.
Yourself.
I'm constantly yeah. Muzzled. And so I never...
Muzzled? I didn't realize you felt muzzled on this show. I apologize.
I can't talk about anything, Rana.
You felt like you had a muzzle on.
That's why. Have you ever noticed how like rated G the show is? That's because I can't say anything I want to say.
I can't. I really can't.
I can't talk about the new play that I was doing in the near the toilet in your house and how it might have.
No,
anyways.
Please. And the other thing is, if I find out flushable wipes are at the bottom of this, you're in.
Well, what else are you supposed to do with them?
You're in real trouble. Everyone knows flushable wipes aren't actually flushable.
Well, then why do they say that, Rana?
Because that is the wipe industry that says that, but not the plumbing industry. And particularly dealing with a property like mine, you can't.
Well, maybe. Instead of hiring a forensic plumber, you should get someone from the wipe company to come out and say whether or not your toilets are up to snuff. Flushable-wise.
I've got some other news I'd like to announce.
Okay.
This episode is our last episode of season two. What? Season two ends today.
What are you
today.
Talking about?
Just what I said.
But we don't do seasons, Ron.
Of course we do. We did a season last year. We ended at Christmas. We took a couple of weeks off.
Oh, you're right. We did.
And we're doing a season now. Because the truth is, the flood.
Well, let me go back and look at my emails to see if I missed an email.
Oh, you didn't miss one. There wasn't one. You don't even have to look.
Maybe from Adam O'Byrne. I
no,
look and
you
see.
Didn't. Because I told it. I just told Adam, too. So here's the deal. I told everyone. I've been warning everyone I was going to take a break in August.
Putin.
Here we are in the middle of August.
Yeah.
And you're calling me Putin?
I just said the word. I don't know what it meant.
You know what? If that's how he gets to do things, that's A-OK with me.
I knew it.
I'd rather be Putin. I wouldn't want to have to live under Putin, but I don't mind being Putin for a minute.
You know what? It's probably good. He probably enjoys that.
I have been warning people for months that I was going to take a break in August.
That is true. You have.
Here we are. It's August
10th. I just didn't know it was going to happen.
Something. And I still haven't taken my break because, as we know, I feel very obligated to the show. I love the show. I'm in the lab. Yes. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But the flood in here, that hit my last nerve. And I had to move back my tour that I'll be going on. I'm just going to say that. My break. We'll call it my break.
I get you a break that costs, from what I understand, nearly seven figures.
What do you mean from what you understand? What do you just understand about what I'm going to be up to?
Because it's something involving a jet and something involving a yacht and something. I mean, I don't know if these are favors that people are doing for you or what. But all I have to say is this, Rana. I'm renegotiating for season three. That's what I'm going to say.
You're renegotiating what, dear?
My contract.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I suppose if you're going to be
kept... Or you can take me on the trip.
If you're going to be kept on for season three, then I suppose you are in the position to renegotiate.
That's right. I want to live in the main house. And you can live in the carriage
house. If you're going to be kept on for season three, I would say you are in a position to renegotiate.
Whoa. What?
But the truth is, I have to take a little break.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking my break. And
we're
going to be back
it.
In the fall. We are absolute. The fall, by the way, is a minute away.
It's like the next month.
People that are gasping saying, the fall
it's like
next
weeks
month.
Away.
Okay? Yeah. We're going to be back in the fall. We are going to, we don't know the exact date yet, so I don't want to commit to it, but we're going to post for people as soon as we know the date. In the meantime, we're going to be sprinkling some goodies into the feed. So,
some surprises. So keep that feed active.
Yes, some fun, exciting surprises. So I don't want people to think that we're just completely abandoning them.
No, you'll still get stuff.
But you know what? A lot of my favorite podcasts, that's what they do. They do seasons.
Well, what's going on with Patreon, Rana?
Oh, Patreon is Patreon. Patreon's going nowhere.
Ever. There will always be, that's not taking a break.
There will, thank you for bringing that up. There will always be fresh episodes on Patreon.
Yes.
And even Patreon is going to do a little mix it up during the next month.
Fun.
Which is fun. But Patreon, of course, will continue. And, well, you know, the people are paying for it. What are we supposed to do? We've got to give them their episodes. So if people want to join us at patreon.com/askrana, we'd love to see you there. We have our fresh episodes, $5 a month, pardon me.
Yeah.
Less than a cup of coffee, as Sally Struthers used to say.
It's true. She said it a lot, actually. Yeah.
And, $10 for sauna privileges if they want to see video. But we love our free feed, and we're going to keep sprinkling things in. It's just that we sprinkle them when we sprinkle them. That's all.
That's
so there's still going to be some fun stuff, but new episodes are coming back in the fall on the free feed. We promise you we're coming back. We're not saying we're not coming back. We're just saying we need a little recharge. That's all.
Any advice for what I should ask for my season 3 contract, Rana?
Send me what you think you want, and I'll tell you how to negotiate it.
Okay, perfect.
How does that sound?
That sounds great. I need your help on this.
But in the meantime, we hope people will continue. The support, I have to say, for the Negrana has been so inspiring and so over-the-top terrific. And people are loving the two-pack.
They love it.
Well, it comes with all these fabulous goodies. And people have been posting them, and they're so excited about it. I mean, really, it's been a really fun thing to do for people this summer, I have to say.
Yes, so I love it.
We've got Labor Day coming up. Summer's not quite over, I understand. I'll still be sipping my Negranas.
Me too, are you crazy?
And so Negrana.com, get in there, as they say. That wasn't our slogan, but maybe it should have been.
Get in there?
That's your slogan. And askronacoffee.com, the perfect companion to the Negrana.
Yes.
When either if you're doing a daytime drinking, you can alternate Negrana, iced shades of vanilla, shades of vanilla, cold brew, Negrana. Or you can do your Negrona.
Sure.
The Negrona Barrett's at night. And you can have your cold brew in the morning. And
terrific.
I mean, there's never been a better season than
starting and ending a day beautifully.
Yeah,
that's
truly.
Right.
A beautiful bookend. But we also want to say to people, we've had so much fun this second
season. It really has been absolutely glamorous, exciting. We have reached new heights in so many different kinds of ways. And I also just want to sincerely say that when people write in with these beautiful questions, we joke that sometimes they're epics, but it just really means a lot that people would seek our advice for something, and then also the beautiful thank yous we get for it. It's so fulfilling just for me to hear stuff like that. That I don't know. And Rana, I'll say it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it in season 3 and season 4. I probably won't remember to say it till the very end.
One season contract,
because I'll probably just have something against you before that.
Yeah, one season contract. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Well, what I was going to say was, I can't think of a better captain of the ship, but I'm going to retract that. I'll retract that. So I think probably a better captain of the ship might be like, I don't know, Jamie Lee Curtis or something.
Oh, well, we've been compared before.
Sure.
Mostly just mostly just our breasts.
Yogurt intake. Oh, okay.
Yeah, mostly just how beautiful our breasts are. Even at this, even at this age.
At any age, Rana.
You know, she just consecrated a space and she was in Hungary filming something. And really? She went to the town where her grandparents were from, where Tony Curtis, I think, was born, maybe. Or maybe his parents.
He's Hungarian? I didn't know that.
Yeah, his real name is, you know, Tonislav Kurtisovsky or something.
Sure, sure.
And so.
Not a Hollywood name.
No. And like Kirk Douglas, you know, Igor Skazinski or whatever his real name was.
Sure.
And in any event, she went there. There were no Jews left in the town. Don't want to do a spoiler and tell people where they went. Okay. So I'll let people figure that out for themselves. But there were no Jews left in the town, but there was still the synagogue space. And she consecrated it as a performing act space.
Fabulous.
And so she's supporting it, et cetera, really lovely. But in any event, that's not what the show is about. So we wanted to do a one-on-one catch up this week because this is going to be our last episode for a little while. But truly,
I think you need to specify what a little while is because it's not a year. No, it's like
I just said fall.
You did. I just want to make sure people understand that this show is coming back and it's coming back in a matter of weeks to months. It's happening soon.
Well, you're the one who said months. I didn't say months.
Oh, weeks to days to weeks to month.
Oh, so you're taking months off? So I'm going to take a break. Then you're going to take a break? Is that what's happening?
I can't do it at the same time as you, Rana.
Oh, so we're not doing the show together anymore.
I don't see us doing the show again until about 2024. But I do still need to get paid for that.
Oh, that'll be no problem.
But for a hiatus or what do you, I need my hiatus money. I need my sabbatical money.
Sure. I need to get the money now.
I need an advance. I got into a few really tough situations. So,
but in any event, we just want to say, as Brian did just now, it's been a privilege. And if you're wondering why we're taking a break, of course, we have been doing episode after episode throughout the entire pandemic, and we just need a little minute
to
take care of ourselves, do a little self-care and a little recharge so we could be back better than before. But of course, we're obviously not going away because we're still going to be on Patreon. So if you're so nervous and so worried and where we're with,
yeah, we're here. We're there every week.
Come visit us on Patreon at patreon.com/askRana.
That's right.
All right, dear. So that was a lot of housekeeping, but it's out of the way now.
You know what? It was worth it.
We have some terrific reviews today.
We certainly do,
Rana. And
then
we have some questions that...
We have some wild ones.
Yeah. We've really tried to throw in a few who knows what's in here. But I am delighted and thrilled, and I'll probably miss you. It'll take a while, but I'll probably miss you.
Really?
But probably.
Rana, I told you I can come. I have
know,
no problem.
That's not, you know, absence makes the heart grow fond. I don't want to put you in a position.
Oh no, I wouldn't.
Where you get sick of me.
Oh, that wouldn't happen.
So it's probably better for me to go on this one.
Right.
And then we're going to do a European tour anyway in the winter.
We are doing a European tour. That's true.
We really are.
I know. I'm saying yes, we are.
If people think we aren't, just watch us.
Think again.
Just watch us.
That's right. Just watch
us. Well, we had said before the pandemic that we were going to do a live tour.
That was going to be our first.
And then we were going to launch it in Europe first because why not?
Why wouldn't we?
Why not?
That's what everyone huge does.
Yeah.
Madonna probably does it. Janet. They all go there first and then come home.
So that's our plan.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Rana here. And I am so excited to tell you about our newest sponsor, ZocDoc. So many people put their personal health priorities to the side during the pandemic, and there has never been a better time for an app like ZocDoc. With ZocDoc, whether you're looking for a primary care physician, a dentist, a dermatologist, a psychiatrist, an eye doctor, whatever specialist, ZocDoc has you covered. You go on the app, you search for local doctors who take your insurance, read verified patient reviews, and book an appointment in person or video chat. Never wait on hold with a receptionist again. So if you don't have a friend like Rana that you can text and say, what about this one? What about that one? Who do I go for the two for this mole, et cetera, et cetera? ZocDoc is absolutely the answer. Go to ZocDoc.com/AskRana and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free. Pardon me. Now is absolutely the time to prioritize your health all over again. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Girl with Guitar gave us a review.
Yeah.
She says, the GOAT. And so, Rana, that means greatest of all time as an acronym.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. Yeah. Sure. Appreciate you explaining that to me.
You got it.
Yeah.
From the moment I heard Rana say, Capricorn, of course, when asked about her star sign, I knew this podcast was for me. There's no room for nonsense on this show, only perfect advice and incredible taste. Knowing there are new eps of Ask Rana to look forward to each week is the only thing getting me through the hiatus until season two of Hacks drops.
Oh, excuse me. We can't wait for that either.
These are all-star reviews lately. 5 stars only. SKS0815 says, rate, ? One does not rate Rana's podcast. One simply accepts Rana's rating for you.
I love that. I have to say, I love that.
Very Rana. The best friends you've never met is the headline that Mike in Menlo gave. Menlo Park, huh? Oh, what are you coming up with?
Home of Stanford University.
Yeah, don't I know it, Rana? Yeah. I'd love to come up in calculus all over your body.
Okay, Brian, this is part of the break. I have to be honest. This is part of it. I'm hoping if I go away,
I'll get
light. I create space in your life for someone else to move in. You're in a new relationship by the time I get back, and then we can titrate this dynamic a little bit better.
I understand. Mike in Menlo says, I love everything about this podcast and their equally good Patreon Carriage House Club. Rana is as dry as Brian, capital Y, is playful. They offer deeply kind, insightful advice with just the right mix of levity and gravitas.
Yeah.
I absolutely recommend this to every one of their fans. The hosts are both expert, experienced podcasters, actors, comedians, improvisers in their own right, and they are perfect together. It's very nice.
Do you think you'll go back to Los Angeles during my break?
Well, I don't know, because I'm making a move anyway while you're gone. Because I'm not going to stay in the carriage house if you're not here. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So I'll be moving some of my stuff from the carriage house to the main house.
Yeah.
And I'll get to tell everyone what your sheets feel like. And that's going to be nice. So I don't know. I feel like once I'm in the main house, I'll go back to LA if I need to work. But I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I have a very intense security system, both in and outside of the property.
Yeah, you'll show me.
Yes, I'll show you that I can see you on the cameras, both inside and outside of the house.
Oh, it's like a sliver.
So you might, yeah.
So I can't finger myself in the
shower. Maybe Billy Baldwin's available.
She hated him. That's in her book.
What was her book? What did you say her book was called again?
Like, My Book of Lies.
My version. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
My Way.
I think it's called Life Twice or something, because she died and then came back. But she said that she kept it anonymous. It was clear the movie she was talking about, that... Who's the kid stays in the picture? Robert, that guy.
Yeah.
Bob Evans.
Yeah.
He produced Sliver. And he told, I guess Billy Baldwin was just doing a terrible job, which is really no surprise to anybody.
He was never really. Yeah. Alec got all the talent in that family. There's correct. No question. Yeah.
And Sharon Stone even said, like, you know, I don't know why you would hire this person. We have no chemistry. There's nothing there. And so Bob Evans called her and was like, yeah, we are worried about the chemistry. And he goes, do you think you could sleep with him? Sometimes that helps. She was like, I'm not going to sleep with him. And he was like, okay, because it can't help. She was like, no, thanks. Hollywood, baby.
Yeah. You know, looking back on it, I'm sure if I was her at the time, I would have been offended. But looking back on it now, I wish people had suggested to me that I slept with a few more people to get to.
RuPaul always says that.
Get them whenever in a better says, mood.
Sure. RuPaul always says, whenever he's asked, like, what's your biggest regret? He was like, not having sex more when I was younger. I wish I would have had more sex.
Oh, sure.
Which is fun.
Yeah, why not? Which explains right. your attitude again. Okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
Should we get into these questions? I don't even remember. Okay, let's do it.
Now, our first question, this is sort of hysterical. I mean, this is, look, I'm just going to say there could be a trigger warning on this question immediately.
Oh, no kidding.
And I wish we had brought in the boy who begs to help us answer this question.
He would be a good source for this question.
I love Ed Kim, but he is the cutest Pooshan named Wesley that he just picked up a couple months ago.
Oh, really?
And I believe he's got his own Instagram called Wesley Pooshan. But if you go to Boy Who Begs, you can find
Wesley. Is that like
Wesley.
A poodle Bichon or something? What's
correct.
A Pooshan? Okay.
Yeah, that was hard to cute. Figure out, wasn't it? 2 + 3 = 5.
You want me to walk out of here, Rana? I will.
Well, Pooshan's quick math, and you're good at quick math.
That's right. That is my quick math. That's quick math for me.
So anyway, we should have brought Wesley the Pooshan in to answer this question. But instead, we're going to answer it. And we're going to try and have Ed back in the fall because he has another book coming out.
Well, and I keep telling Ed, I told him last time, I wonder if he took me up on it. I said, why don't you sell some of your stuff on street corners?
We but did tell him to have a big bag sale. He really was not interested in that.
All right. Well, maybe we'll see if who gets the last laugh about that.
Yeah, we'll see just what Ed has to say about that. Cool. And also, I want to know what Ed thought of the Negrana, Padme.
What does he know about it?
He's one of our key influencers.
That's true.
Who we sent the Negrana to.
You can send it overseas?
I can.
There you go.
And if he hasn't received it yet, I'll just bring it with me on the jet. Or on the boat. And, you know, when he comes to meet me, that'll be easy enough.
Don't you think he'd rather see me?
Maybe, but if the offer is come on the trip, but don't come on the trip, my guess is he could get over it pretty fast. Hi, Rana and Brian. Hoping you can help with a roommate situation.
Yeah, we'll see if I can.
I started baking during the pandemic. Yes, I'm basic. And it became a really useful anxiety outlet for me. I especially love making cupcakes and decorating them. And I love tinkering with recipes to make them my own and get them just right. In the beginning, my roommate was all about it. But recently, as the world has started to open again, she's getting really mad about it. According to her, she's put on 25 pounds during the pandemic. All of which she blames on my cupcakes.
That's absurd.
And now people are starting to invite her to the beach, and she doesn't like the way her swimsuits are fitting. She came to me crying when she first put on a swimsuit, talking about how disgusting she looked. I said she looks great. She does. She's tall. So even if it is 25 pounds like she claims, it seems to be evenly dispersed, I guess, and I didn't notice a huge change. But she claimed I can't understand how she feels because I never have to worry about this stuff. That's kind of true. I don't have to watch my weight, which is probably why I don't notice other people's much.
Well, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm no longer on the writer's side.
Oh, no. This is a flipper and a flopper, this question.
All of a sudden, I was like, oh, you are that kind of person? And then just...
This is a flipper and a flopper.
Horns started growing out of my devil head.
A flipper and a flopper, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
That's kind of true. I don't have to watch my weight, which is probably why I don't notice other people's much. I know I'm very lucky in that respect, as society places a lot of importance on people's bodies, and thin bodies are glorified over other body types. But it's not like I don't have my own flaws and insecurities. We all have our stuff.
True.
She asked me to stop baking. I offered to just make sure I take all the baked goods to my office or our neighbors. She said that wasn't good enough because she would still smell them and wouldn't be able to stop herself from eating them overnight if I made them in the evening and took them to work in the morning. This struck me as odd, as we've lived together for 2 years and I've never noticed any sort of disordered behavior, like not being able to, quote, stop herself from eating. I'm worried for her, and this is, I'm worried for her that this is an anxiety holdover or something from the pandemic. She does see a therapist, and I asked her if she's talked to her about it. She said she did, and that the therapist said a considerate roommate would just stop baking. I find this kind of hard to believe that a quality therapist would encourage someone to ask the world to just bend to their will.
I don't think they would.
I've tried baking smaller batches and even went over to another friend's house to bake, but that friend posted a pic of us baking on social media and she commented, OMG, just stop, with a bunch of eye roll emojis. Now we're living in silence, save the slam door here and there. I feel for her. We were strangers when we moved in, but we have become close in the past couple of years and we're both really happy to have each other during the pandemic. I want to help her, but part of me feels like I should be able to bake in my own house. Or there should be a compromise that isn't just, I stop baking forever. Is she being unreasonable or am I? If she is, I'm not sure what else I can say to her to get through. If I am, I'm open to another suggestion for a basic hobby, though I would really miss the happiness baking brings others and the way it makes the house smell. Oh, and the stirring. The stirring is super relaxing. Any suggestions would be taken to heart. Love you both. Thank you for the endless hours of laughs. XX. Please don't use my name. P.S. Moving is not an option right now for a bunch of boring reasons.
I'm sort of on both of their sides, only because I feel for the person who cannot control herself around food like this. And I do actually believe that the smell is triggering. I think it can be.
Yeah.
However, I think asking someone to stop doing something it's just simply enjoy, not to mention it sounds like it's very therapeutic for you, but even just that you enjoy, I think is not right. You pay half the rent, presumably, and it is your place. And I think a therapist also giving someone advice that a considerate roommate would stop is crazy.
Well, yeah, we don't know if the therapist gave that advice or whether that's what
we
she
don't.
Said.
That's
the,
true.
That because the I gotta tell you, the therapist gave.
A good therapist baseline is always going to say the only person you can change is yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the only person you're actually in charge of.
Right. We don't know if the therapist really said that or if she's just looking for another EMO. Exactly.
Right. So I've of course was going to suggest moving or saying, I think I'm going to have to leave because I can't do what I really love here. And I think you're asking a lot of me. What do you think, Rana?
Well, I think two things. I think three things, maybe. The first thing it made me think of, which may be totally off the wall, is if you had a roommate who was a nudist. If you've had a roommate that was walking around naked all the time.
That would be horrible.
And you had a sex addiction and you thought, why is this person walking around naked all the time and trying to tempt me? That's the first, maybe that's a completely
being baited,
unfair
right.
comparison, but that was what it made me think of. I also have to ask, what is this incessant baking? What are you doing with this baking? Mm. Who are you baking for? I understand that baking is relaxing, but it sounds like you're making cupcakes 4 nights a week. I mean, what are you doing?
Right.
You're talking about her holdover of anxiety from the pandemic.
Good point.
What's yours? Go for a walk.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't make cupcakes once a week if you want to or this or that, but slow down.
Yeah.
And what is this? Used to me dropping cupcakes off. Okay, well, that's over now. That was the little moment we had, Betty Crocker, where everybody loved being showed their love during the pandemic. And that's over to me now. I think everyone is having the same issue in your household, which is how do I pull out of the pandemic and adjust to this new phase in life. And do I think it's fair that you should have to stop baking? No, but it does sound like you've taken it to a fetishistic level on to some degree.
And there is a difference between when you are living with someone, that is sort of a little bit of a price you pay, I think, is...
You don't live alone.
You are living with someone. Yeah. You are living with someone.
I wonder if she's a difficult roommate in other ways. I also think that what we're learning is that this girl does have disordered eating in her past. And that I don't think it's your responsibility to care for her in that way. I really don't. But you could be considerate about it. And I mean, the part where she said, OMG, enough already with the baking.
That's pretty shitty.
That makes me wonder. Because that to me is, you said we're both so happy to have each other during the pandemic. Sounds to me, to be honest with me, like you're on her last nerve.
Yeah.
If that's what she's writing on Instagram.
Yeah. If she's letting it like seep out like that. Yeah.
And I wonder if there's something going on here where a little bit like the cookies. Remember Christmas cookies?
Of course.
Everybody loves my cookies.
That was his identity.
Everybody's on my list.
I don't get thanks properly.
4,000 people. Yeah. And if I don't get thank yous from 3,999 of them, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yep.
Why don't people see me? I feel a little bit like we have a little bit of that here, which is this is cupcakes has become her identity. I do my own mixtures. What did you think of the lemon ginger cupcake I did? Did you like the cream cheese frosting? You know, that this has become a little bit of an identity, and it's possible that these cupcakes are truly dynamite and that other people, that you're getting a lot of terrific feedback from other people on these cupcakes and that she's having trouble connecting with other people and she feels jealous.
Maybe.
If that makes any sense. That you're getting a lot of attention for these cupcakes. But it's true.
I'll tell you, you live with another person. It's true. And if I'll tell you though, and this is just what I would do, which is certainly not what everyone would need to do. If I were the person who couldn't be around the cupcakes, I would move out.
Sure.
That is, I would just sort of say, I actually can't live here anymore. I can't do this. I don't think I would ever feel comfortable telling someone to stop baking. Because it doesn't sound right to me. But I would start looking for a place if she's also taking
up a lot of space. It's like running a commercial batch.
I tried to make smaller batches. It's a messy business. Yeah.
You know, that she's in the kitchen all the time and that she sort of claimed that space.
That is anxiety producing, frankly. It's a common area and probably the number one favorite common area.
But I think you could say, look, I hear you. This is something I really love doing. I hear you. I'm going to go bake at Janet's house or whatever it is. And that's me making a concession. Mm-hmm. If your roommate is really still pretty nasty about it, I mean, you're sick of each other. That's the truth.
Yeah.
This isn't about the cupcakes. It's about every little thing you do because you've been on top of each other.
Yeah.
I also think if it were possible to go home to your parents for 2 weeks or to take a little break or something, I think you two have been on top of each other for a little while and everybody could use a little reset or she can go somewhere or whatever it is. And maybe that'll help everybody come back together a little bit.
Bake up a storm at your parents.
But really, ask yourself why you're constantly making cupcakes. It's not like you're stirring. Well, I don't know. Find something else to stir.
Yeah. Go to the beach, get some sand, put some ocean water in it, go to town.
Start stirring. Yeah. Make a cupcake sand castle.
That's right.
Yeah. Whatever it is. But
yeah,
I would check in with that too. And we're not saying this is your fault, but as Brian said very succinctly, you live with another person. Mm. Your habits are going to get on each other's nerves.
Totally.
You either find a way forward or you're going to live in this uncomfortable situation until one of you breaks.
I mean, it's as simple as someone saying, but I love doing it. And the other person saying, but it's driving me crazy. And I can't be home.
I love walking around naked.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I prefer you didn't because there's two of us.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll just only do it when you're not home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, dear. Next question.
Let's do it. Dear Rana, Brian, and guest, sans guest this week, everybody. Your listeners are desperate for your sage advice, and I am no exception. I met a person on a gay dating app and made it clear from our first meeting that I was only interested in a plutonic friendship with this person.
Oh, we'll call him Pluto.
Yeah, only interested on is that whatever they're calling Pluto now? Is it now, a planet again, or is it? I don't know.
It's an exoplanet. Is that a
right?
Is that a relationship with the planet Pluto or the dog Pluto? I guess is my question.
It's a great question. Great question. Interested in a plutonic friendship
platonic,
with this person.
Platonic. P-L-A-T-O-N-I-C. Right. As in Plato. Okay, dear?
As in of this earth.
Yes.
That's right.
Don't use it until you've looked it up.
That's right.
Okay.
I made it clear from our first meeting I was only interested in a platonic friendship with this person. We'll call him Emil. I like that.
Let's definitely call him Emil.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
To be totally frank, upon meeting him, I wasn't really even interested in pursuing a friendship, so I understand my role in this.
Okay.
Although he has good qualities, as most everyone does, Emil has many qualities that are extremely off-putting, habitually lying about his family's wealth.
Oh.
Lying about his plans so that I would do favors for him that, by the way, I would have done anyway, showcasing his immaturity in new and time-consuming ways, and being rude and even ugly to service workers. That I can't
tell. Oh, I don't know what. Okay. No.
Yeah. I know. This is only a curated list in the interest of time. When Emil moved to another city, and I subsequently moved to another city, he made and still makes several times a day an effort to keep our friendship alive via text. I even felt compelled, though I was happy to travel, to attend the wedding of one of his family members. During that trip and to this day, it has become clear and clear that he views me as a romantic interest. He's even confided in me that he wanted to break up with his long-term partner and move across the country to be closer to me, to a city he has no ties to, no job prospects in, and where I would likely be burdened to be more engaged with him. Rana, I'm sorry for my language, but fuck that. Rana, are you going to be okay, Rana? Is that fainting couch behind you? Yadvina Katcher.
I've never heard such language.
Such language. We never had a deep or meaningful friendship, even when we lived in the same city, and it's even more superficial and one-sided now that we are thousands of miles apart and many years removed from our last in-person interaction. He's not picked up on my social cues, never being the one to reach out. Curt responses, if at all, only acknowledging one of his 5+ daily texts several days after the fact, and has taken to sending me messages with sexual undertones.
5+ daily. All right.
Memes, NSFW, Reddit posts, etc., which I refuse to acknowledge. I think I've made it clear via my actions and inactions, however passive and unadult, that I'm uninterested in this friendship continuing any longer, but I also don't feel like this friendship is substantial enough to warrant a serious conversation about an ending. I'm eager to know whether either of you has ever had to break up with a friend and how you went about it. Thank you for the great shows weekly, and 5 stars only, of course. Kiss, kiss, Nigel. Nigel and Emil. I mean, this is easy. Just don't respond anymore.
Yeah.
Fade to black.
Either that or, Emil, stop sending me this stuff.
Yeah. Stop sending me this stuff. I don't like it.
Emil.
And then don't answer another text
stop
again.
Stop sending me this stuff.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry. And then fade to black.
And then fade to black.
Yeah.
Just, you don't have to respond to one more of his texts ever again after you just deliver one short neutral message.
You might get a phone call from him when you don't respond to two or three of them.
So don't answer the phone.
And yeah, but they were friends. I guess they were sort of friends before. I don't
know
what.
You're right.
But you just have to say to him, I just really don't think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm not getting mixed signals from you. I'm getting signals from you. Yeah. And I don't think I'm sending back those same signals. And I think the healthiest thing for both of us would be some space.
Yes. I don't think I've ever had a friendship breakup. I've had, obviously, arguments with friends and have grown out of friendships, I guess. But I don't think I've ever had like a, I cannot be friends with you any longer. I don't think I've ever had that moment. Have you?
Well, I think I've had the moment, but I don't think I've ever expressed it to someone
in
that way.
Yeah. You just kind of fade to black. Or I do.
Or where you realize, it's just not.
It's just not going to happen.
Everyone knows we don't want the same thing here.
Right.
You have told him, it sounds like, or you have intimated that this is not, I mean, he really is interested in a romantic or more intimate relationship.
Right.
We don't want the same thing. We don't. And
I wish you luck.
I don't know what to say beyond that.
I think it sort of ends here.
I think it's unfair at this point, to be honest with you. And I, you know, don't be shocked if he says something like, boy, you think a lot of yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you did offer to move here not knowing anyone else, Emil. Right. But I think, you know, I think that you just say, I don't think this is healthy from either side. I think you have expectations that I don't plan on meeting, and I don't want to run the risk of sending you signals I'm not trying to send. And good luck to you.
My long ago therapist used to say to me, no answer is an answer. But I don't know that I really believe that. I think that sometimes people just need to be told, I'm not interested. I think we're at the end of the road here. Good luck with your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's certainly the kind of thing to do often. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's annoying because then they write back and they, you know, you don't want to get another communication.
No, you don't. But and you don't have to respond to it.
You just have to live through that. Yeah.
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 That's true. Good luck. It sounds annoying as hell.
Yeah. Emil also has personality problems.
But why did he give him such a sexy name?
Well, we do have to wonder about that, I suppose.
It's true. Emil's a great name.
Yeah. There is something to wonder about there, also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is our last question of season two, Brian.
Of Ask Rana with Rana and Brian.
Though, of course, we'll have our cliffhanger, and then they could come listen to us on Patreon, and they'll be able to listen to us there. But,
well, that's true, actually, so it's not. Yeah, but yes.
But.
Our free feed season two ender.
This is our last question of season two. I don't know what I'm really saying other than saying that, but I just want to remind people of the expectation. And again, we'll be back in the fall, of course, and the minute we know what date the first episode is going to drop, we will put that on Instagram and let everybody know. And as we said, there were going to be some goodies in the feed while we're gone. So just calm yourselves. Excuse me. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
And if for some reason it takes a little time for us to come back, you can blame that on Brian and his contract negotiations. That's all I'll say about that.
Well, Rana, you can, you know what? You can blame anything you want on me. I am not signing that dotted line until I get absolutely everything.
I don't get mad. I get everything.
That's right.
Yes. Exactly.
By the end of this, I better own 51% of this company.
My dearest Rana and sweet angel Brian, I'd prefer you didn't use my name don't mind. Well, thank you for telling us up front. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I don't want to mess around too much with a lot of extra words, so I'll just get into it. I'm writing to you because you're both artists, and although I don't know and I'm not asking a lot about your personal lives, I think you could have some insight that would be helpful to me. Well, what do you mean you don't know a lot? Brian was dating a guy, and then he started dating a guy that got swallowed by a whale. What don't you know about our personal lives?
It doesn't
lives?
Get much more devastating than that.
It doesn't get much more personal than that.
It's true.
First, I know that the overarching answer is going to be therapy, and I'm working on that, but I wonder if you have any additional thoughts on the subject. For most of my life, I have written things, all kinds of things, really, but there's just something in my brain that says, sit down and write this. Also, for most of my life, I've struggled with self-image and self-worth, and I believe this has always led me to reviewing any writing I've ever done and saying to myself, this is garbage and you are a terrible writer. What do you think you're doing? I'm a bit older now, 36 this year, and I'm sitting down to write in earnest. This time, I can't believe we have anyone that old listens to the show. I have to say,
it's
I feel so disappointed.
It's so gross.
When we get these geriatric emails, I get so disappointed. I really do.
It's absolutely nauseating.
This time, I'm trying out other kinds of writing instead of how I've typically done in past years when I sort of focused on my own past. I kind of hate when people say this because it's so vague, but suffice to say, I've been through a lot. I think I've always written about those times because they were still on my mind and I was processing all of it. I suppose I'm still processing all of it, hence the therapy. Okay. For whatever reason, this time, I've decided to ditch the misery porn style of writing, and I did not have the urge to exercise those particular demons anymore, although bits of those times do make it in it. as various story elements. Okay.
Naturally.
Something else that is different about my writing now versus when I was younger is that, at the risk of coming off self-congratulatory, I now think I might be pretty good. I've written a few pieces of fiction in a genre that I enjoy reading instead of just writing about my troubled past, and I'm coming away from it in a sort of amazement. Not because it's just so good, I can't believe it, but because I think I might always have been a good writer, and I just never let myself get far enough away from the trauma to understand that. Okay. All that being said, my question, I think, is this. By the way, this person said, let me keep it brief. Just want to put that out there.
Sure. This went to boxer brief, not brief.
Have you ever struggled with your own self-image enough that it significantly reduced your ability to make your art? If so, do you have any advice about how to move past that? Although I am not quite experiencing the same soul-defeating esteem problems that completely prevented me from writing in the past, I am still having some feelings in that vein, which I think are making it difficult for me to sit down and write with the honesty that I should be. Is therapy the only answer? I find I'm actually having trouble talking to a therapist about this in particular, because it almost feels like I'm asking someone to validate my talent, and that doesn't feel great. Is there anything I can do to push my art through this wall? And by the way, I'm using art in a very general sense. I would not presume to call myself an artist, but I really think I could be successful if I could just get through these barriers. Thank you very much for all you do.
Well, beyond therapy, which it just sounds like you have the wrong therapist. I just don't believe that therapy is wrong for anybody.
Yeah.
I think it is the right thing for everybody, unless you're a sociopath, because then it's a whole thing if they just get smarter by that. They're not supposed to do that with a sociopath. But apparently,
wait, what's this?
If you're antisocial, aka a sociopath, they learn how to fool people better in therapy. That's really the only type of person who is not supposed to go to therapy, because it makes them smarter in the wrong way.
Oh.
But that's truly with a person who is not capable of understanding feeling guilt.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or feeling guilt about anything. It's literally that specific kind of person. But for everyone else, I think if you have the means and the ways and the this and the that, you should absolutely do it, and maybe your therapist is the right person. Putting that aside, I don't know how you do this without some sort of validation from an outside party and encouragement. And for me, that has been in the past taking a screenwriting course.
Yes.
It has been taking an essay course. It has been doing UCB. It has been so that I am constantly getting feedback. Honestly, I remember just in college writing papers and feeling, oh God, that was so terrible. I'm so embarrassed. And I was a little vulnerable. I shouldn't have written that. And then getting feedback back that was like, you're good at this and you should keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's good for an artist anyway to be insular. Maybe when you're working, but otherwise, no.
Correct.
If you're the only person who's a critic in your life, that's not good.
I agree.
Yeah.
The first thought I had at the beginning of the letter was exactly what you just said, which is you need to take a class. You need to go on a course. You need to go on a retreat. You need to try to pick a good one, not one. Interestingly, they're very similar to therapy, which is if you have a bad therapist or a bad writing teacher, you're going to keep doing what you've already been doing.
Look around, because great thing is you can take these online too, to where you could take a class, a writing class at UCLA. Exactly. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Or at, wherever. BU, Emerson, anywhere
NYU,
in the country.
Whoever.
NYU.
Look to see who has the best writing programs in whatever kind of writing. Sounds to me like you're sort of a novelist or a nonfiction essayist or something like that.
Yes.
I don't know. But look to see who is the preeminent master's program in the field that you want to specialize in.
Or even just a further education, continuing education, which is just a one-off class.
But those people, I'm not saying get a master's.
Yes.
I'm saying, let's say NYU is the best place to go for personal essayists or something like that. Then take take the NYU class that is offered for this, the extension, etc. Because chances are whoever teaches that class is probably a grad student in that thing. They may not be the professor, but they may be training under someone who is the pro of that thing.
And you know better than I do, but I gotta say, like, one of the biggest inspirations, and this cannot happen to anybody, you know, but I wonder how competent Cynthia Dupree Sweeney was in her writing before she started taking classes.
Cynthia Dupree Sweeney went back to Bennington College when I think she was 50 years old.
Right.
And she got a master's degree at 50.
And I'm assuming someone there said, you're really good at this.
And I believe her first book came out at 56, if I'm not mistaken.
And it was one she was working on in
She'll
that program, wasn't it,
maybe?
She'll
murder me if I got that wrong. If she was...
No.
But she... absolutely started writing that book during that program.
Yeah.
The other thing is, what you're talking about is synthesizing your personal experience with the skill and craft of being a writer. And right. I've got news for you. No matter how good you think you are,
yeah,
or how much you think you've improved, it is a craft. There is no question. The great news is that you don't mind sitting down and writing. Most writers hate to sit down and write. You want to write all the time. Your brain tells you, write this down,
that's
write
like
this down, write this down.
80% of the battle. Yeah.
That's half. That is the whole battle.
That is the battle.
Can you sit down?
Yeah.
But whatever the case is, you're an amateur. And it's the same thing with performing talent. It's the same thing with being a visual artist. You can have all the talent in the world, but you need a system, or you need someone to help you prune that beautiful rose bush.
Which is why
instead of letting it grow wild.
Every writer of the highest level has an editor, because guess what? And
correct.
Every actor gets directed on the set of something.
Correct.
Because guess what? That never stops. It never stops. And it's good that it doesn't stop.
You can't really be the writer and the editor.
Everyone needs a second set of eyes, at least. So,
and give yourself the gift of either taking one of these courses online or going to a retreat if that's within your means. Though often these places have incredible scholarships, et cetera,
right,
et cetera.
You can, and even have like work programs, or if you like cook a meal one night, you can get the whole thing, you know.
And if you send your sample, your best sample, that'll be the first step in the validation process if they see some potential in this.
Right.
Because what we're talking about right now is untapped potential.
Yes.
And what you really need is someone who knows what they're looking at and to say, I think you could do this.
Because by the way, otherwise what you're dealing with is however you're feeling that day, and that's going to judge your writing.
Correct.
You know what I mean? I'm
what
in a bad mood.
Point.
I suck at this. Or like,
what
you know,
an
that's
excellent
just
point.
So unfair.
If you think you might want to do this professionally, let's start professionalizing it, basically.
Right. Yeah. And listen.
And that goes for anything. That goes for Cupcake Wars, I hate to tell you.
Totally.
If she has a secret belief that she's going to become a cupcake princess and open a bakery, well, start trying to connect with people that actually do it for a living.
The first and only movie I ever sold was because I took an intro to screenwriting class at UCLA so that I could get some fucking structure. And
there you go.
Someone could tell me, is this a good idea?
Yeah. So you didn't hatch a screenplay out of an egg in your backyard?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Isn't
And then, by the way, years, exactly. And I'm still constantly working on it. It just, that's with everything. That's with everything.
Yeah, but people that are 60 that still write are still working on it.
Totally.
Or they stay shop by being part of writers' circles where people share their work and everybody's vulnerable and everybody gives everybody notes and whatever. You know, you got to stay sharp. People don't just become writers and then stay writers. People have friends that, you know, we had the letter from the guy that was the script assistant.
Yeah.
When the Doughboys were on.
That's right.
And that he had his boss reading his stuff, and that his boss, who knew what he was doing, was helping him figure out how to become a professional writer.
Yeah.
The greatest gift you could give yourself is, and it's such a terrifying leap of faith, of course,
it is.
To put
it is
yourself
so scary.
Out there
yeah.
and to be vulnerable. But try to just take that tiny little voice that says, I think this might be pretty good, and have that person put the sample in the envelope or attach it to the email or whatever it is, and let that person hit send, and then go to your fainting couch and pour yourself a Negroni and wait for the answer. And the other thing is, I'll tell you what else is a huge part of this process is rejection.
Rejection.
So I don't want to hear, I sent it, don't, no one would like to. You need one person in the right place to see what you've got.
It's like literally like one out of 80 auditions that you get, you know, like,
and it's incremental. It's all incremental. Yeah. You're not going to become an overnight sensation. That's why they always say, oh, he was a 20-year overnight success.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because it doesn't really work like that.
Sure. You're
except
funny.
For like now one or two people.
Yeah. You're funny. Now you want to be a stand-up? Well, you're going to have to go do stand-up every night for 10 years. And then you'll become a stand-up.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's exciting.
I do too.
Because no matter how nervous and insecure you say you are, there's still been a progression and you've still been sticking to it. So
yeah,
let's see if you can try and make your hobby a profession. Let's see.
Why not?
Let's see if you like it.
You're already doing it.
What? You're already doing it. Yeah. It's time to just take it out of the cave though and share it with everybody outside the cave.
Totally.
Yeah.
And but, by the way, that
but
when
pick
someone
those
tells
voices,
you,
the right voices, you know, pick the people you feel supported
right, don't just
by,
because
there'll be plenty of critics. But that's in everything.
That is in everything. And by the way, all you really need to hear is, frankly, this needs some work, but it's good.
Yeah, there's something here.
There's something here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Great. Dia,
Ronna,
it's time to do a giveaway.
Oh my God.
I think our giveaway, maybe we'll do a whole bunch. Let's see who you pick. And then I think we're going to give because it's a season two blowout.
Yeah.
We're probably going to do the coffee. We're probably going to do the Negroni, assuming the person drinks. Well, of course, Tony will email them and find out. We don't want to upset anybody. And then I think we're going to add one more personal touch on top of it. So who have we got here? What's our wrap up?
Okay, so we have got the Cupcake Wars,
of course,
the roommates who are just kind of driving each other crazy.
Yeah.
We have got the How to Break Up with a Friend.
Yeah, and Emil.
We've got Emil. And we have finally have How to Break Through on My Art, but you know, the aspiring writer.
I think we know what's going on here, but I want to hear who you think gets it.
I mean, I think the aspiring writer gets it.
I think this Cynthia Dupree Sweeney wannabe, which, by the way, the carriage house is full of them, if you noticed.
Full of them.
It's all Naomi Ekperigin can talk about.
It's true.
How everybody thinks this Cynthia Dupree Sweeney, because they send the world's longest letters.
It's true.
Except not interesting, which is the opposite of Cynthia Dupree Sweeney.
Right. I was going to say Cynthia Dupree Sweeney leaves you wanting more.
Total page turner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope she writes in for advice and stuff, but I'd love to see what
Cynthia's advice.
Yeah, her letter would be a paragraph.
Right.
Dear Ronna, having trouble deciding between two colors on my kitchen island, you know, would samples attached, would love, you know, your input.
Valid question.
Best Cynthia Dupree Sweeney, something like that.
Why not?
With this person, because it's season two and it's a blowout. Okay. He's going to get the coffee.
The writer's going to get the coffee.
He's going to need it if he's going to be up writing on that.
I could totally agree with you.
He's going to get the Negroni.
Wow.
Assuming he drinks, we'll find out. Tony will email him. We'll find out. And that way he'll have something to take the edge off after a feverish day of writing.
Yes. Or to liquid courage to send in the sample.
Correct. But please write the email before you pour yourself the Negroni, the congratulatory
Make
Negroni.
Sure the draft is there.
Make sure, let's just make sure that we've had the cup of coffee before we send Absolutely. A sober draft.
Definitely. Definitely.
Number three.
Yeah.
The much coveted Santa Maria Novella writing candle.
This has been a minute, Ronna.
Cynthia Dupree Sweeney has been known to light the potpourri scented candle from Santa Maria Novella as her writing candle. She only lights it when she writes, and she blows it out when she's done for the day. And I think a writer here could really benefit from that ritualistic feeling of what a real Rita does to get into the zone.
So nice.
Yeah.
What a triple header. Triple, yeah. You know, times three. Excitement times three.
And we should encourage people to have those sort of rituals anyway, because...
You know, I took that from the last time she told us that. Yeah. I buy a nice candle. Beautiful. And then light it when I'm working and then blow it out when I'm done.
What an absolute pleasure.
You kind of start looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right, dear. We have to read our cliffhanger.
Of course, Ron.
Cliffhanger, as we used to say.
The hang up.
And then we will hope that everyone will join us on Patreon to hear the answer.
We'll be there every week.
We'll be there Friday. And we are desperately looking forward to our little break, but really, honestly, looking forward to seeing people on the other side of it. So,
no kidding.
All right, dear. Why don't you read this?
Okay. This is the final cliffhanger
of season two.
Season two.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Dear. Sorry.
It's not even how it starts. It starts, hey, Ron and Brian.
Okay. Hey, Ron and Brian. First, I wanted to say thank you both for making me laugh so hard through the dark years of my 20s. I've been a longtime fanboy of Ron's various endeavors over the years. Okay. And Brian, you've taught me so much about LGBTQ and women's issues. So thanks a million to both of you. I've always been nervous to write in, but I keep hearing you mention 29-year-olds. So I thought you might want to hear from one.
Here we go. Buckle up. This is actually a great cliffhanger for us, because 29 is a recurring theme. So.
No kidding.
Yeah.
My name is Reed. I'm a 29-year-old gay ASU student studying graphic design in sunny Phoenix.
Arizona State.
I have to say, Ronna, you are 100%. Yep. I have to say, Ronna, you are 100% correct. 29-year-olds are wild. It's a very strange time in my life. About 3 weeks ago, I was unexpectedly fired from Starbucks after I filed an HR complaint for being overworked.
I really wish no one had brought up HR before the season ended. But
You know what? Yeah. That's fine, Ronna, because actually what I realized is, obviously, my lawyer will do my negotiations with the contract and you're going to help me. But HR, I have a whole other different set of standards and practices I need to go over with them.
Make sure you see if I've posted from Italy on my personal Instagram before you send that. Because what I'd love is for you to ruin my vacation. That would be my favorite thing you could do.
Noted.
Yeah.
Noted.
This needs your immediate attention. Wait till I landed and I looked like I'm relaxing. And then send it right away. Yes. Make sure that the attention, Ronna, for immediate response.
You got it. I'll call the hotel and say, you've got to run this.
Yeah. Fax it.
I'll fax it.
Yeah. I can't ignore a hard copy, can I?
Mrs. Glickman, there's most urgent news.
They have to take the elevator down through the cliff to find me on
Correct. With your huge sun hat on, and then you'll just see
evil under the sun. That's my theme for this summer.
You'll be so relaxed, and then you'll see a message that says, for Ronna Glickman, urgent from Brian Safi.
Yeah.
And your vacation will be wrecked.
I'll tear it right in half and throw it into the ocean. Yeah.
My name is Reed. I'm a 29-year-old gay ASU student studying graphic design in sunny Phoenix. I have to say, Ronna, you're 100% correct. 29-year-olds are very wild. Oh, yeah. About 3 weeks ago, I unexpectedly was fired from Starbucks after I filed an HR complaint for being overworked. I'm fighting with corporate, but that's a convoluted story and not why I'm writing in. The real reason I'm writing is because after the first week after I was fired, I slept with four different guys in 4 days.
Oh.
Fun. I don't know what
came over me.
What a week.
Set up the pins and knock them down.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't really been sexually active through most of my 20s because of my self-confidence issues and depression. I was involved in an abusive relationship with an older man when I was 19. Mm. That sucks. And never could get over it until I finally decided to seek professional help about 2 years ago.
Terrific.
Thanks for always supporting and promoting mental health awareness, by the way. When lockdown began, I started to work out daily and have gained a lot of confidence back that I lost years ago. I just found out I made the dean's list as I start my senior year, so I've honestly been feeling great.
Terrific.
It's this strange time where I've been fired, but I don't feel bad or guilty at all. I'm really just digging myself and how hard I've worked to get myself back on track. Should I just have fun at this point in my life, or should I try to find a relationship right now, or should I be looking for a job?
Oh,
side
boy.
Note, I've been hooking up with a few different guys in open relationships. I didn't understand it at first. but I've started coming around to the idea. It's now such a great time to be diving into something with someone or two right. or three.
Yeah. Should I Any be 29 of, or should right. I be 29 or should I be 29?
Yeah. Should I continue to blow my life up?
Yeah.
Any words of wisdom from you two would be taken to heart. Love, Reed, Keller, you can use my name.
Because I'm just like Brian. I'm just putting it out there that I'm available.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's out there, Reed. It yep. is out there.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Brian gets his fingers into during the pandemic.
Oh, baby.
That sounded awful, didn't it?
No, it sounded just how you meant
it. I was thinking it was like a bowl of, cookie batter, but I realized it could have been taken another way.
Well, it can feel like that. I mean, it's depending on what's going on in there.
Brian!
I'm sorry.
That'll do it. No, now I actually
don't
feel a bit bad about taking a break. That was too much.
You're right. That was too much. That was outrageous. Dante, where was the beeper?
Yeah.
I'm trying to triangulate this too.
Well, you can't because he's not even here. He says he's here, but he's asleep. Well, this is happening. He's on his...
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Dante, next time,
actually anticipate what I'm... I got to tell you, that was a horrible sound, Dante.
The
and
beep,
you're
going
to have to find
it.
A way to take it down. Yeah, that was too much.
No,
and it's,
that's
again,
great.
Not the way I wanted
note to
end
Emma.
Season two.
Beep.
Well, Ron, we'll I don't know what
post.
To tell you. You're the one who hired everybody.
That's okay.
And Emma, just so you know, Dante's beep is going to go where I said that thing that I shouldn't have said. But now I feel good that I said it because everyone needs to learn a little lesson here.
So keep it back in. Okay. Yeah. Love, Brian. Yeah.
Exactly, Ron.
Dear, join us on Patreon for this incredible cliffhanger. Patreon.com/AskRana. You can order your Negronas while supplies last, Negrana.com. Yep. The coffee, of course, continues to be an international favorite.
AskRanaCoffee.com.
If you get a subscription.
Well, now the Negrana is an international favorite now that Ed Kimber's got his hands on it.
Well, I'm going to have to see what's going on with Ed and why, whether he's posting or he loves it or what's going on. So I'll check in with him when I hit Europe. But in any event, we hope you have a wonderful rest.
I'm going to need your full itinerary.
We hope you have a wonderful rest of your August. I'm saying
yes,
this
course.
Like we're not going to be on Patreon. We're going to be
on Patreon.
We're going to
be on Patreon.
But we can't. Look, some people want to pay for it. Some people don't. So that's all we can do.
Right.
And we will miss you dearly during our little break. And we look forward to coming back in the fall. We can't wait to see everyone. Keep the letters coming. Even if you're worried, when will they get to it? We're not talking about a big break yet.
Right.
Okay. Keep the letters coming. We love getting them. And we can't wait to have a full mailbag to come back to.
Correct. Amanda.
And Brian, have a wonderful break.
Thank you, Ron. Just send the itinerary so I know which hotel. I need the hotel names. I need the days you're going to be where. I need the, the license plate numbers. Like I need to
But
know
you know
on.
Me. One of the main differences between the two of us is that I'm more of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants when it comes to travel, and you're
That's
more
true.
Of a book at 6 months in advance. So there's no point of me sending an itinerary because it could shift at any moment. And you don't want all that email or all that paper.
Oh, no, it's fine with me. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I'll spare you the I'll spare you the spam.
Oh, no, I mean, I use a hard copy of everything anyway, so that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So
I adore you, dear.
I adore you,
and
too,
happy Rana. Season two to you. We really did a great job, I think.
We really did it.
Yeah,
and
we
I can't
dug
wait
deep.
To surprise you. That's right. And I your house is going to look so much better when you come.
Oh,
around.
I can't wait for you to not set foot in it.
Okay.
All right, dear. Kiss, kiss.
Bye, Rana.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.